Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, and welcome to the Radio Northwest Network, serving Oregon, Washington, and Idaho with honestly provocative talk radio. I'm glad to have you join the conversation. I'm already in the conversation at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com. I supported the first recall of Governor Kate Brown, but it was torpedoed by the fact that there were two recalls going on at the time. And I've answered the question at least 1,000 times. It's a reasonable question. Why did the two not get together? Well, because the Oregon Republican Party was running one of them, and this other guy, who I don't even want to deal with anymore, because he doesn't strike me as a very nice guy. He really was very tough on some of the people from the Oregon Republican Party who ran the first recall and who fell just 8% short of the signatures necessary to put it on the ballot. So Bill Currier, chair of the Oregon GOP, joins me now, who's running the legitimate recall. This is Recall 2.0. And Bill, welcome back to the program. And I take it you're on track to get the signatures necessary to put Kate Brown up for recall.
Good afternoon, Lars. Yes, we're doing very well. In fact, we're far ahead of where we were at this point last year. So the numbers are really good, although we always need to have a buffer to insulate us against, you know, the inevitable number of invalid signatures and ones that they discount for various reasons. So we're going for the gold, basically.
And I'm glad to hear you are. Do you figure the Secretary of State's office is going to really be tough in looking at these signatures and try to disqualify as many as possible?
We've worked with the Elections Division both last year and this year, and they've been fair and above board in all of our dealings so far. I don't expect any problems. However, there's always a certain number of signatures that are bad for one reason or another. And so what we're doing this time is we are two things that we're doing very differently is we are validating the signatures in a more automated way so that we know exactly how many are bad. So that if they come back and they say, hey, well, you know, 10% of your signatures are bad, we can say, no, actually, it's only 3%. And then we have the actual data to support that. The second thing that we're doing is we're pre-numbering every petition and serializing them basically before they go out. And now we have accountability. We know who has which petition sheets. We know how many have been returned out of how many we've sent out. And so we're able to track better how many are coming back, how full they are, and what our actual numbers are going to look like when we're at the end, which is the end of August.
And by the way, Bill, I told you that one of my concerns, I don't mind if people run, you know, initiative petitions, even competing initiative petitions, although there is a danger in doing that. We've seen competing tax measures before.
Right.
We've seen competing changes in statutes that end up working against each other. Are those other two recalls, or are there two other recalls that are making some effort, even though a small effort, compared to what the Oregon GOP is doing? And are they a concern for you?
Well, I can't speak too much about what they're doing. We're not hearing much about them. They started a month before we did. They were actually part of our group and decided to jump the gun and go out and file ahead of our timing. We wanted the timing to be perfect for collecting signatures, which is, you know, when the COVID situation calmed down, people were out and about, you could get in front of them. Their effort is focused mostly on asking people to mail in a petition. We know from experience that our signed petition, we know from experience that doesn't work. We're out in front of people during the best time of the season to do so, even though the governor has shut down, you know, the state fair and county fairs and so on. And we have to offset that with our, with additional activity and signing locations. That is actually happening. We have three times the number of volunteers this year than we had last year. And at this given moment, we have over 135 locations around the state where people can sign, and it's growing daily. We expect to have over 200 very soon. And the number of petition sheets that we're actually distributing on a daily basis has gone from 567. It's going to probably peak out at over 750 a day that we're sending out. Those are 10 liner sheets.
Wow.
So we're keeping up with the demand, but we're also tracking it much closer. And so we know where the hotspots are, where the activity is, you know, where we're getting the most bang for our buck.
I just want to make sure that people don't say, oh, yeah, I've already signed that, thinking they've signed the Oregon GOP recall, which has the horsepower to get it done, when in fact they may have signed the online petition that was mailed out to them. And then
yeah,
you lose out.
Well, we have one way that's really easy for people to know is, well, first of all, I would say, you know, go to our website, katebrownrecall.org. Again, that's katebrownrecall.org. And you can get all kinds of information, including locations, a map, information about how we're doing, the latest news. But our petition number, every petition in Oregon is required to have a petition number. And the number of our petition is in the upper right-hand corner. It's 05. The other petition is 04. So you'll know if you signed ours if you've signed the 05.
Very good. Now, the other thing I want to ask you about is the process. So you hope to get 450,000 signatures, which is more than 150,000 more than you actually need, and you expect to have those in by the end of August?
That's what we're on track to do. Well, actually, we're a little bit behind getting to 450,000. We're looking at more like 410,000 right now, but our goal is 450,000. That gives us a nice, healthy buffer against signatures that might be invalid. But there's another reason, too. It's more psychological, and that is going into the election, the special election that will be triggered by this recall petition. We want to make a very strong case that we didn't just meet the minimum numbers. We had overwhelming numbers.
All right. And then the process from there, if you turn in the required signatures by the end of August, when does the recall election actually happen?
So it's a little bit of a fluctuating window, but the basically at the end of the 90 days, which is at the end of August, the Secretary of State's office or the Elections Division has 10 days to validate the signatures that we or verify the signatures that we've submitted. They do a statistical sampling and to say, okay, you know, you have 5% bad or 3% bad or whatever number they come up with. And we may go back and forth with them a little bit on that if we have better data than they do. Like I said, we're going to have really good data. But they'll have 10 days to make that determination. The governor then has up to 5 days to decide whether she's going to resign or not. If she chooses not to resign, she has to write a justification, a statement that goes on the ballot next to our statement as to why she should be recalled. And that will be the question in front of the voters on the special election. That special election is required to be, by law, scheduled within 35 days of the end of the 5 days that she has. So basically, you have 10 days.
October 15th?
5 days from the. Yep. Basically, the way this could fall would be somewhere between the 1st of October and the middle of October. And that's very important. We want this to fall prior to the general election.
And then if she's recalled, who takes her place? Is it Bev Clarno or is it Tobias Reid, the treasurer? Because I would argue it's Clarno.
Yes, and that's exactly right. Every constitutional attorney you talk to is going to tell you that, and we've talked to a number that are going to say that per the Constitution, the Secretary of State is next in line to succeed the governor if the governor resigns or is no longer in office for some reason, including a recall. Now, people will argue that it's not Bev Clarno because she was appointed. But if you look at the actual wording of the Constitution, it says that even appointed Secretary of State succeeds the governor unless, and the one exception is, if they're filling in on a temporary basis. Well, Bev Clarno is the full-time sworn-in Secretary of State that is replacing Dennis Richardson. She's not doing it on a temporary basis.
And that was my interpretation, that if, say, God forbid, the governor was in a car wreck and she was incapacitated for 10 days, Bev Clarno could become the acting governor, but because you're anticipating the governor's return. But if the governor is recalled and Bev Clarno is the full-time, not acting, Secretary of State, then she becomes the next governor of the state of Oregon. That's Bill Currier. You got to get on top of that recall number. Get the numbers in there. Get the signatures in there. Put this thing on the ballot. And let's get Kate Brown out as governor of the state of Oregon. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.